Hey there, welcome to Walking Alongside Perspectives, a combination of short monopods as well as some conversations with cool folks covering various topics based on what is going on in the world, focusing on the broader theme of perspectives. As Friedrich Nietzsche said, there are no facts, only interpretations. So let's get into it with this episode. Thanks for being here. While I have been variously accused of not knowing how to relax, of being too hyper, and even of having ADHD, I would argue that I'm just a person who has a lot of energy, has a lot of things going on all the time, likes to talk, possibly a bit too much, is slightly better than average at organizing things, and sometimes gets a little overwhelmed. I think that's a pretty fair assessment. I guess you could say I'm an average working mom of a teenager, daughter of an aging parent, and spouse of a, let's call him, typical male. And so when I listen to various podcasts or read articles or newsletters discussing the importance of mindfulness, I'm taking note both because it's good material for implementing into things at work and applying to my life, probably in that order. Daphne says they're not good at traditional mindfulness because their ADHD makes it challenging. I've never been particularly good at sitting still and doing, air quotes here, nothing, so I get it. It's a tough sell, not going to lie. At work, we talk a lot about mindfulness, whether that is in the context of stress management, anger management, mental fitness, or the most recent thing that we've been working on, a series on resilience. We try to have people focus on the things in life that they have some amount of control over, like choosing to be mindful when working out to minimize injury, or recognizing when your emotions start getting too big to guarantee that you aren't going to react in an inappropriate or regrettable manner, or both. And I was recently reminded of the fact that if you want a different outcome, you have to change the inputs. And that's largely what we talk about in all of these workshops. Consider the things over which you have at least some control and change how you acknowledge, deal with, respond to, etc., whatever it is, to get a different, ideally better outcome. Which is why we talk a lot about mindfulness in that context. The challenge I have falls squarely into that whole doctor heal thyself zone, where it's one thing to be able to talk about these things, to facilitate them in workshops, to write about them in articles, make posts about them in social media, or heaven forbid, talk about them in a podcast, and a whole other thing to be able to make sure that you're actually applying these things to your own life. I firmly believe that all of the things that we talk about in these various workshops will work, but you have to actually do them, and that applies to me as well. So when I'm talking about doing these things mindfully or practicing mindfulness, I try to consider the things I give as options or examples so that they will resonate with people who range from being very able to sit quietly and reflect and be contemplative to those who have maybe a little too much energy to be able to be crisscross applesauce on a cushion yogi on the mountain style. That's why I always mention walking meditations or doing something that's active like doodling or art or any of the things that help you to be engaged in something and not necessarily having to watch your thoughts come and go and drift gently along the river while not being distracted by them like leaves on a pond, blah, blah, blah. All those things which definitely do not work for me. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to minimize those particular tools and strategies. For people for whom that works, I am so glad and honestly, more than a little bit jealous. In the most recent sessions I've been working on for that resilience series, I was talking about the connection between physical strength and mental fortitude. I love that topic because of that whole mind-body connection. And it caused me to ponder how whether the things I was doing were creating that same positive feedback loop in my own mind and body. This morning, I got the answer. I had to go to the ear, nose, and throat specialist because of this bizarre unilateral pulsatile tinnitus that I've been experiencing for the last, well, over a year or so. And so I didn't really think it was a big deal until I mentioned it to my doctor, who was like, oh, we should probably look at it and make sure that it's not some kind of systemic or other medical cause, like a big brain tumor or something. Which, you know, that's not a word you love hearing from your doctor say in a super casual, let's just double check it's not a brain tumor kind of way. So anyway, that's how I ended up having my hearing tested for the second time and at the ENT's office for a follow-up appointment. Little PSA here, if you haven't had your hearing tested and or you think you might be losing your hearing, go get it checked and deal with it. Get a hearing aid if necessary, because there is a strong relationship between hearing loss and early onset dementia or just, you know, your brain starting to slowly shrivel up and fall apart and all those things. You're welcome. So in the ENT's office, he's asking all the follow-up questions and he's being very thorough. And he says, now I know this is going to sound weird, but we're going to take a look inside your nose with a camera. And trust me when I say that there is a relationship between me looking in your nose and your ears. And I just have to nod and say, okay. So then, as though this is going to make me feel better, he says, it's going to feel a lot like a COVID swab. Now, I may be alone in this, but those have never felt all that good. And while I'm sure there are some people who are probably a lot braver than I am and just ram that thing up their nose in those self-tests, I did try to be really aggressive, but as soon as there was that weird pressure sensation, it's just abort, abort, and that's the end of that. Needless to say, knowing that this was what the comparative thing was going to feel like didn't make me feel super excited about it. So how this is related to that session on resilience is because while I'm talking about how we have to train our bodies to do hard things, which teaches our mind that it can sustain and endure hard things, and how the fitter we get, there's this translation to the ability of our mind to recognize that, yes, you can actually do hard things, which can help when you say things like, you got this, you can do this, it's going to be okay. And that positive feedback loop is established because then your mental self is saying to your physical self, when it feels like you can't put one foot in front of the other or do another bicep curl or chest press or push up or whatever, and it's saying, yes, you can. You can actually do this. Just give me one more. Now give me one more. And pretty soon you've completed your set. So that's what I was thinking about as I'm sitting in the chair waiting for the doctor to stick this camera up my nose. And he was not wrong. It was really a horrible sensation. He also said that what's probably going to happen is you're going to feel like sneezing, and go ahead and sneeze. You're not going to damage the camera. I'm more worried about damaging my brain by sneezing and having this thing shoot up into my cerebral cortex or whatever. And then he says, oh, and your eyes are going to water because there's this mechanism when you shove something up your nose, it triggers that response. Apparently, I've never shoved anything far enough up my nose to trigger that, so the excitement was most definitely not building. Then he says, okay. So just breathe through your nose and keep breathing and don't move your head suddenly. To which my thought is, how is that compatible with it's okay if you sneeze? Because if ever there was something that results in a sudden movement of your head, it's a sneeze. But contradictory information aside, I did my best to simply close my eyes and breathe through my nose. And so as someone who does not practice mindfulness meditation by definition, although I do tend to try to walk mindfully when I'm out with Luna, I sat and breathed through my nose and willed myself to be calm despite the horrible sensation of this camera meandering around my nasal cavity. Then came the really disheartening realization that I have two nostrils. So once one side was done, I needed to have the other side done as well. At which point he says, oh, and this second side is probably going to pinch more because it seems like it's narrower on this side. Fabulous. So again, I close my eyes, breathe through my nose, will myself to stay still and calm, and it was in that moment that I realized that every single person 100% has the ability to do mindfulness meditations. It's just a question of what is the motivation behind being able to do that. And while I wouldn't recommend this as the way to learn that you're capable of doing it, trust me when I say that if you can stay calm, breathe through your nose, and not move your head while someone is snaking a camera around the inside of your sinuses, basically, I think you can do pretty much anything you set your mind to. And I feel very comfortable making that statement because this most recent experience has proven to me, in my mind, very unscientifically, that I think I'm right. If I, as someone who doesn't do meditation or mindfulness regularly or well, but can still endure this, there is something to the notion that anyone can do this and countless other things. I don't think that you necessarily have to sit on that cushion or watch your thoughts float like leaves on a river or however that is worded. I think you just have to decide that when called upon to do something, many of life's lessons that you might not even know you filed away somewhere in your long-term brain storage will come to the forefront to help you through. Any workout that you might have done will trigger that ability to do a hard thing. That little twinge of fear of what might happen if you move your head too suddenly, it's not going to hurt either. But at the end of the day, I think that we can do whatever we set our minds to. The key is to simply start by determining what that actually is. Like in the conversation I had with Trina about reinventing ourselves or evolving. Who do I want to be? What do I want to do? Do I even want to meditate or be mindful? And honestly, there's just too much research that says the benefits are too good to not try it. So, in whatever little way you can practice, whether that's hitting that crisscross applesauce pose on a cushion, mindfully walking your dog, or even very deliberately and mindfully eating the last Easter chocolate, working on those little things that really help firm up that mind-body connection and developing you the ability to get through hard or unpleasant things is absolutely worth it. Thanks for listening. If you have ideas for a topic or even better, a perspective to share, I would love to hear them and share them, ideally in a conversation with you. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and throw a comment my way or share with friends. For better or for worse, we're all in this together. We have exactly one world to share, so let's make it the best one it can be. Until next time, take good care. Ciao for now.